Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Think about the darkness of the times and what's taking place in our society today. You can imagine if you're walking around in the daytime with a flashlight, you still have a flashlight. It's still putting out the amount of light that it puts out, but you really can't tell. But I tell you what, when it gets dark, you really do appreciate that flashlight. Do you know what? That God's called us to be the light of the world. Jesus has sent us out to be the light of the world. I want you to hear Jonathan Connors. He's being interviewed by Jim Baker, talking about, you know, what it's going to be like as things are increasing. And we're going to talk about how God has called us to be children of the light today. Let's listen to Jonathan Connors.
As I watch this movie, God spoke to me exactly what you're saying. Every time you come, you bring word that God has been dealing with me and preparing my heart for. And Lori, you know I've told you this. We're watching AD, the Bible.
The Bible series. We watched it every Sunday night.
And I'm telling you, while we're watching it, this same crowd's alive right now.
Yes.
This same crowd isn't in America.
That's right.
This same crowd is trying to destroy America. We're doing, you know, murdering our babies. We're doing all the things that kill the church, destroy the church. The church has become the enemy of America.
That's right.
You don't believe it? Well, you're living under a rock somewhere. But this is what God's trying to show us.
Yes.
God brought you there.
Yeah.
To warn us, the same spirit of Antichrist that killed Jesus, that wanted him put away, is alive and well right now on planet Earth.
Yes. And I agree with you. Everything. One of the mysteries is that not only Rome comes back, we know that, but if Rome comes back, so does persecution. In the same way, but it also means if you look back to the first century, that is also the time of the greatest explosion of the Spirit and the power of God.
Yeah.
So what it means is, you know, the last days are not just dark times. The last days are times of polarization.
Yes.
The dark gets darker, but the lights are to get brighter. Now the lights, the grays disappear.
Yeah.
What we're watching, the grays disappear. When they take the polls, they find there are actually less Christians in America now because they're less nominal Christians.
Right.
What happens is the grays, they weren't real to begin with, but the grays disappear. What's left are the real believers.
Yes.
But the real believers then shine. So the grays are disappearing, the dark is getting darker, the lights are getting have to get lighter.
Yes.
So yes, at the same moment, it says the love of many will grow cold, evil will... But it says, I will pour my spirit and the gospel shall be preached to all nations. So it is a double-edged sword. But so in the same way, if Rome is revived, then the book of Acts has to revive.
Yeah.
Then we have to be as they were. God is calling us to be that.
Yeah.
And so one of the things about persecution, it forces us to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
It forces us to either go terribly or become the great but a disciple we were meant to be.
Yes.
God wants the book of Acts again. That's why Jewish believers are back, because they were back there then. That's why Israel's back, because it was back then in the book of Acts. That's why the outpouring of the Spirit has been back. All these things, it's not, you know, you could the bad side, but look at the good side. If Rome is back, we have to be, if it's that civilization is coming back, we have to become the same believers as were back in the time of Rome.
Absolutely.
That's the point. That's what. That was one object I saw, but then there was one other object, which is right next to the Colosseum, and I've talked about this object, but I never saw it. I didn't even know it was right there. It's on a little hill. You see the Colosseum, you go up a hill, and there you see this arch, and this arch is an arch from which all these other arches came. You have the Arch of de Triomphe, the Napoleon. All these things were based on this arch, Roman arch. What is the arch? It's the Arch of Titus. The Arch of Titus, same guy, same one who built the Colosseum, same one who destroyed the temple. It is now, he has an arch named after him. And that arch was built to celebrate not only Titus, but the destruction of Israel, the destruction of the temple, that Israel is dead, the Jewish people are no more a nation, they are scattered, will never be a nation again. You have the Arch of Titus standing in Rome. So that and on the Arch of Titus, you see a graphic relief of the Romans carrying away the treasures of the temple. And so in their hands, they have the silver trumpets on that arch. In their hands, they have the table of the showbread, of the bread of the presence. And in their hands, they have the menorah of God. that's all there celebrating. You take it like it's the enemy behind it saying, yes, you know, Israel's finished, we'll never be again. It's the enemy behind that. So that arch has stood for 2,000 years. In fact, rabbis have said to Jewish people, don't ever go through that arch, you know, until Israel came back, because you cannot be part of what this is. So this is declaring Israel's dead. But God had other plans. God's word said Israel will come alive again. The word of God. You have this massive arch, and then you have this word of God, scroll, but God's word was in that scroll, and it said that nation will come alive again. And so therefore, after 2,000 years, Israel came back into the world according to God. But you have that arch of Titus. Now, one of the things, when that arch of Titus was there, when Israel came back, someone wrote graffiti on the top of that arch, and it was Hebrew graffiti. And it said in Hebrew, Am Yisrael Chai, the nation of Israel is alive again, lives again.
So the
thing is that the enemy wanted Israel dead, destroyed, never come back, because he knows that they come back, he's in trouble, because this is the prophecy of God. So therefore, here's the thing, but here's what the Arch of Titus tells us. When Israel came back, they had to come up with a symbol to represent the newborn, resurrected Israel. Now, if you ask, what's the symbol? You think, well, it's the Star of David, it's the flag. No, that's the flag. But the symbol of Israel, the official symbol of Israel, is the seven-branch menorah of God, in that burned in the holy place of the temple, burned in the night. That seven-branch that's in Exodus was there. But the problem is, there was no way anybody could know exactly how it looked like, you know, what it looked like, because they really had no real depiction of it at the time. So, but except one, the Arch of Titus. The Arch of Titus that was built to celebrate the destruction of Israel inadvertently preserved the holy vessels because they put it in stone. So here the enemy meant to destroy it, but by doing that, he ended up preserving. We can see exactly how that menorah looked. So when Israel had to come up with its official symbol of resurrection, they went to the Arch of Titus.
And they
took that. When you look at the official seal of Israel, it's from the Arch of Titus. So what does that tell you? What does that tell us? Well, here's the thing. You know, we say that what the enemy does, he tries to take what God uses for his word. What God, here's the bigger, better thing. God takes all that the enemy does and turns it around for his glory and his purposes.
Yes.
Everything.
Yes.
Think about this. As it's getting darker, realize if you are the light, he says that the light came into the world, the light shined in darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. That's you. I mean, think how dark it was when Jesus appeared. It was born, you know, of a virgin, and he walked in this life. But imagine all of darkness terrified of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, as they're watching the light of God walk around as a baby, as a young toddler, as a young teenager, and just suddenly at 30, all of heaven opens up and the Holy Spirit descends on him like a dove. I mean, the light of God. But he sends us out. The same light now is inside of those who are believers. And you think about it, he says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3, he talks about it. Arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is upon you. This is the day that even kings will come to the glory of the Lord. They're not coming to you, they're not coming to me, but it's the light of God. They're going to begin to seek out the light of God. Right now, there's a lot of folks, like Jonathan Cahn said, that proclaim that they're the light. But you'll find out when the lights go out, you're not going to be able to find them. Why? Because they were dark. I mean, the light reveals who we are. The darkness, I mean, reveals who we are. I mean, if you turn the lights out and you can't find somebody who calls themselves a believer, you know, talking about theoretically, then the fact is that you had no light. But you can become, the light of God can move in you if you say, you know what, I was very religious, you know, and I had a form of godliness, but the truth is I didn't know Jesus. Jesus is the light of God, and that is the life of men. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that light lives inside of you. And God's called us to be children of the light. Today we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be a child of the light, and how God specifically spoke to me in a night vision as I was talking about and teaching a series called Arise, Shine, Your Light Has Come, that the glory of the Lord is upon you, being children of the light. He showed me how many people are walking around in love with darkness while they're proclaiming that they are actually in love with the light. But the truth is, you got to have one or the other. You're either walking in darkness or you're walking in light. And God shows us by His grace and mercy how that's done through His word and His leading.
You think about this. When you think about what Jonathan Kahn is saying, John, that this is not a mistake what's taking place. I mean, Jesus sent out the disciples in the midst of great darkness. Imagine He was the light and is the light. He began to share the light with His disciples, and He sent them out to be a witness of the light. So you're looking at, 12, you know? And I think Judas was gray. I don't think he was lying. the power that was is in the name of Jesus Christ, even Judas could go in the name of Jesus. We'll talk about that a different time. And so as people began to receive the light and once Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit burst the church, that you're looking at all of a sudden this big bright light. You think about this, that you know, Jesus had gone to be with the Father, and he said, wait for the promise. Don't go anywhere before you do anything. The promise trumped the Great Commission. Think about it. Before you fulfill the Great Commission that I commanded you to do, I first want you to wait for the promise. And so there was something that He was going to do. You know what He's going to do? He was going to put light over them. Mm. Because with this big wind of God's Spirit, He talks about in Acts chapter 1 and 2, this wind comes over His people. At that point, there was like flames of fire over each of their heads. They're like lampstands. It was the light. All of a sudden, when you walk around, imagine that there's some flickering flame, like a candle's flame. I like to think of a torch.
Yeah. Not, thinking of a torch. not this little light of mine, right?
You know, you think about that. And just everywhere you go, you know, you have this big light over you. I mean, today we see light as a halogen. Sometimes we see it as these different kind of concepts of bulbs today. But a light always meant a flame. That is the ultimate thing of basic light. We may have to find that out again. But it's just a candle, for example, just burning, or an oil wick burning. And He says that you are the light of the world. He says He's commanded us to go into all the world and let our light shine so that people would see your good deeds and give glory to our Father in heaven. Mm. So there's a light. The only thing that we can do, the enemy can do to us as children of the light, is to convince us that we're not. To say, you know, you don't have anything to offer. You know, when you walk into a room, you know, there's nothing there. And he convinces you that you're a failure, that you're dark instead of light.
That's the ploy. Yeah. Because a lot of times then when you think that and you fall to that trap, then you no longer become a guardian and a keeper of the light.
Right.
You start loose living, and before you know it, your light could be snuffed out.
Well, you go into dark. If he convinces you, if the enemy tries to, if you buy into his lie and say there is no such thing as a child of light anymore, that you don't carry the flame of God in your heart, and then you walk into a dark room, you don't light it up. Dark room meaning people who are not walking with the Lord. And it'll be just like what we just saw take place with Rome, as Jonathan Kahn's talking about. They'll be carving statues out and everything saying, hey, there are no more Christians. There's no more Jews. And it's like, no, there still was a light burning in Jerusalem. They didn't know about it. You couldn't put it out. That's Israel wasn't dead. And the church is not dead. But the thing about it is, first, if you've listened to those lies, you got to start telling yourself, wait a minute, I am the light of God. The God's Spirit dwells in me. And for the light to be somewhere, I have to go somewhere. I can't project light. I have to go be present in my workplace, be present in my family, be present in society. And the second way, another way that the enemy takes our lights out is sin, where all of a sudden we are focused on ourselves, focused on others or whatever it is, but all of a sudden it's lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's everything it. Ties down. That's it. And you can have different names that boils down to those three things. And you know, one particular minister said, you know, sin makes cowards of believers. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is that your light is flickering. You know that any kind of big windstorm comes up at that point, it could blow you
out.
That's it. You know, and it's not always once lit, always lit. Mm. And so at that point, but you can get your light back. You know, you can see somebody's eyes and their eyes are like glazed over. You know, and it's like their candle's about to go out. It's like a little flickering flame left in their life. But you know what? When you let them know and you begin to share with them the love of God and the forgiveness and the mercies of God, and all of a sudden that light will come back into their eyes again. It'll come back into their eyes. And so that's what we're called to do, is to be a witness of the light. So sin puts our light out. And at some point, if we don't repent and God, you know, the Holy Spirit contends with us, you know, then our light can be put out. He says very specifically, think about this, what a lampstand looks like. You have a a stand filled with some oil with a wick in it, and the wick is on fire. Well, you look at that, that's a light, that's a candle. And when you saw the church birth, what was the one thing that you saw on top of, they saw on top of the disciples when they were filled? They saw a flickering flame. It was like what? They were lampstands, right? That all of a sudden that the oil of God's Spirit was in them, right? And what happened? They saw the fire. They actually physically saw a physical manifestation of the light of God. God was making a point. Now my light rests with men. Mm. He was making a point like that. But if you look at Revelations in the first few chapters to the churches, he says, if you don't repent, I'll remove your lampstand. That's what he said. I'll remove your lampstand. If you don't, so this stuff about, you know, once lit, always lit is not a reality. And then you look at this, you look at the 10 virgins that Jesus tells us about. Five were ready. Their wicks were trimmed. Their oil was in their lamps and they were ready to go. And the other five thought, it's not relevant. You don't need light. You don't need oil. I got enough. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes back. And guess what? Only five of them were ready and the five weren't. This is Jesus telling us this. This is not some man's theology and what he thinks. He said five went in and five were not let in because why? They had no light in them. They had no lamp. They had no oil. They had no wick. And so when you're talking about you might not even be saved. You may have been hanging around a whole bunch of people who told you were, but you know, darkness is in your life. You can make a decision today to say, you know what, Jesus, I want you in my life. Mm. I want the light of God in my heart. As a matter of fact, we shared our testimonies at Meet My Father. You can see it right here on your screen to share our testimonies, how God brought us out of darkness and brought us into his light and began, you know, we're all a work, you know, and God's doing a graceful work on all of us, a merciful work. But that point, when you do that, God dwells inside of your heart. The light of God is inside of your heart. At this moment, you can say, you know, I want that light. I'm tired of darkness. I'm tired of religious darkness. I just want Jesus in my life. Just ask him right now. Say, Lord, I want you to be in my life. I want to be able to know my way around in this dark world and what's going on. And he will do it. Just call out to him and let us know about it. But here we are. Things are getting darker and darker and darker. But the whole thing is that makes the church get lighter and lighter and lighter. But like Jonathan Cahn said now, this is quoting Jonathan Cahn, you know, these folks that he called grays, you know, basically he said they weren't believers anyway.
Right. When the persecution comes, they'll begin to scatter. And it makes me think of Matthew 13, talking about the seed that falls on rocky ground. That's what the Word of God says. This is a person who hears the Word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, Greg, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the Word, they quickly fall away.
Those are the words of Jesus. And, you know, whatever somebody's telling you, that's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
So, and he said too, Jesus said that, but Jonathan said in there, he says, persecution forces us to a place of decision.
Yeah.
That's how you know when God allows hardship to come our way, he's bringing us to a point of decision. When he took everybody to the top of Mount Carmel with a prophet named Elijah, who was a man just like you are a man, confronting a government who was in rebellion to God, who was originally established by God, but was in rebellion to the God who established them. And he said, you're going to have to make a choice today. And this is where we are. I mean, persecution. And so when you say, well, why is this persecution coming? Because God wants to purge, think about it, to purge his people out of whatever religious thing is out there so that his church can walk around in the glory that he wants it to walk around in. It just boils down to that, you know, God's present where his people are at, you know, where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. If you're wondering when you come together with people who profess to be believers, but the presence of God's not there, you need to ask the question, God, where are you? What needs to happen?
Yeah.
What darkness has come into my life or our gathering or our fellowship that all of a sudden we're okay with not having the presence? Isn't this about you, Jesus?
Yeah.
Why, if Jesus is on the sign outside of our building, shouldn't it be in the sign of our heart? Shouldn't we sense? Moses in the Old Covenant said God, that the world will know that I am yours. The only thing that differentiates me from anybody else. Think about this. The only thing. This is a friend of God who saw the face of God. He said, "Is your presence?"
Yes.
That's the only thing. It's not about your doctrine. It's not about what you think. It's not how many Bibles you got, how many songs you sing, or how big your building is, or how many people you got gathered together, how many little people you have gathered together. Is God with you?
Yeah.
Is his presence there? When people see you, do they go, you know what? this man, this woman's been with God. They know, yeah. I can sense yeah. the presence of God. You know, that's, and by the way, that's the joy, by the way. It's not some religious thing I'm talking to you about. It's what you want. It's what you crave. You know, it's what God's called you to be. And he's called us to be, you know, children of the light, of him. And one thing he said very specifically, we have I have taught a series to be able to just encourage you in what God had revealed to me. And this dream is part of that, where I can tell you, as I was teaching it, God spoke to me in a night vision about this. But it's called Children of the Day. And it goes in six parts, understanding, you know, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 through 3, when he says, arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Think about that. Arise, what? Shine. What did Jesus say? Be the light of the world. Shine your light so people see your good deeds and give praise to my Father in heaven. He says, see, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness is over the people. I mean, people are going around going like, there's like gross darkness everywhere and thick darkness. I'm talking to people and they're like, thick darkness is over them.
Yeah.
Huh? You're the answer. You're the light. He says, but the Lord rise upon you and his glory appears over you. In other words, all of a sudden, but the Lord, the candle, the fire is upon your life. And he says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So understand, as it gets darker, you know, begin to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. Begin to understand that you abide with him and he abides with you. You're walking in the light. But if you're not even picking up his word, which is the light of God, right? His word is a lamp unto my feet. It tells me where I am. It's a light unto my path. It tells me where I'm going. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It helps me to divide my thoughts and the attitudes of my heart. Come on, this is what we're called to do. But if you're going to have to fill yourself up with the light of God's word. And so we're called to be children of the light. And this is what the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me specifically in this night vision, I was in a mall area. And in this mall area, it was like a food court or something like that, John. And in this, there was a whole bunch of young people, maybe in their early 20s, late teens. And I began to just, they're all excited about all these different things. I began to share with them about the love of God and about, you know, how much the Lord loves them and how they have the light in their life, how they could be saved. And there was, some just walked away, but some were very excited, John. Mm-hmm. They were just like, oh, this is, and they're just like, and I'm excited because they're in love with the God I'm in love with. Like, oh, this is exciting. And they go, yeah, you know, basically I want to get saved. Yes. I want this Jesus, you know? And it's like, I was like pumped, you know, and sharing the gospel with them. And all of a sudden they grab me by my hand, John, these same people. And they're carrying me to a room that's kind of, you know, how dreams are in regards to this separate room. And in this room, it was a dark room. And they were just as excited about hearing the gospel and hearing about Jesus and, quote, accepting Jesus as their Lord as they were about what they're about to show me. And they're like, come on, you know, because I'm just like, whatever, you know, the brand new believers, you know, and I tell them where they're going to take you.
Okay, let's go.
Say, okay, it's cool. You know, there's grace for this. And all of a sudden they walk me into this particular room and imagine this fireplace against the wall in this dark room. It's not a fireplace, but imagine.
A cauldron or something?
No, it's like a fireplace. Imagine just like brick, you know, dark brick, and then there's a hole in the area where there's a fire burning inside of there, and there's some sort of brick area at the bottom of it or whatever. And then there's it's just a dark, demonic place. And it's like, but they're excited. They're very excited about, you know, showing this. So I'm kind of like, okay, obviously I'm going to need to help them out here. They said, come on, you got to see this. And there was this dark burning fire in this whatever it was there. And all of a sudden, John, all of a sudden, when I'm talking to, then these young people, they laid down flat in front of this altar, this dark altar, obviously an altar of Satan.
Right.
And they laid down flat and they pushed every part of their flesh. If you're laying flat down, you still can have parts of you that are not flat on the ground. They were literally pushing every part of their flesh was bowing down to this thing, just flattening themselves out. And then all of a sudden, this dark, I'm going like, oh my goodness, this is not good. But I'm thinking, I got to be careful because I want to make sure I want to win them. You know, I want to gently instruct them. And I realize that, you know, obviously Satan has something, you know, doing something to them. And so then all of a sudden, this black blanket-like covering just begins to come out from that place and cover those young people. And then I start coming against, like, hey, and I come out, and all of a sudden something comes out, like demonic demon thing comes flying out of this fire like that, and begin to rebuke it. And it's like, You know, this is the whole thing, church. You can't serve darkness and light. You can, we have people, John, that are just as excited about people who are cursing God as they are about people who are praising God.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll go and take it. You got to go see this movie where they actually degrade God. And at the same time, let's go sing some songs about praising God. And James says, this ought not to be so. Mm. And it's like, we got to make up our mind that we're called to be children of the light. You've got to get this series. It's all available. By the way, those that stand with us, our sponsors, our partners.
Yes.
We appreciate it. We're very thankful for you. This is definitely a network that you were building by God's grace through your gifts. But a partnership of any amount, I mean, any amount on a monthly basis gives you total access to everything. Well, definitely the teachings, the specials, the green room, all those different talks that we have. As a matter of fact, there's a green room talk right now available from Art Thomas. You know, Art Thomas is going to be here at the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast Conference. Make sure if you hadn't signed up for that, you need to sign up for it. Go to VFNTV.com. Every single individual that plans to come has to be signed up individually. It's not like, hey, I could just say I'm coming and bring a crowd, because you got a limited space when you're looking at studios and those type of things. And it's going to be a powerful, it's an awakening healing. Mm. So get ready for a healing. Come if you want healing to be awakened in your life, maybe in your fellowship. You know, our desire is for you to leave with the awareness that God wants to heal everyone and show himself mighty as a child of the light. So it's register today at VFNTV.com. Now, when you think about children of the light, this series that's available to you, to our partners right there, when you think about what God has called us to do, the darker it gets, like Jonathan Cahn said, the more need people will have for you. You know, people in a dim environment, people can get around when it's still dusk, when you have a few stars out. You know, we at nighttime, when it's a clear sky, you know, you can kind of get around by other people's light. For example, you can get around. You got a few stars out there at nighttime, a little sun, you know, reflecting off the moon. In other words, your parents are walking with God, but you're not. You know what I'm saying? And you have other people that are doing what's right before God, and God's light on them is giving you the ability to see. They're the ones constantly telling you, like, you need to turn back. You need to turn back. But all of a sudden, when things go dark, you know, your only hope is children of the light. And he says that kings will come to your light. Gross darkness is over the land. Thick darkness is over mankind. But the light of the Lord is upon you. You are a child of light. Children of the light is what Jesus called us to be. And so in this teaching, you gotta watch it. You gotta listen to it. You gotta see it. But about, you know, think of how dark it was when Jesus was born. He was born into darkness. Light came in darkness. It shined in darkness, but the darkness didn't even understand that he was the light. He bared witness, John the Baptist, he says, of the light, but Jesus was the light. And that light is what? The life of man. We have no life outside of salvation. Mm-hmm. When you get saved, the light of God, the life of God comes and dwells inside of you. God's not saving you from being saved. He's saving you from death. You know, he saves us from death. You know, somebody says, I couldn't believe God would want to send somebody to hell. You choose to go there. It does not, he's saving us from that. Once one man fell, Adam fell, and Eve fell, we all fell. He's saving us from a fallen state. And so the only hope is Jesus. The only hope is him being our rescue, and he wants to rescue you. That's what this is all about. But then once we make Jesus the Lord of our life, he expects us to learn of his ways. He was born in darkness, but born as the light of the world. And so in this series, I'll begin to talk about that, where you can begin to understand how significant, you know, you'll no longer, this is what I talk about, stop screaming at the darkness, stop shouting at the darkness, and start being the light. The answer is not some political equation. It's not some party. There's Christians right now in America, according to some of these groups that call everybody up, they say that Christians would rather be known as a conservative than be called a Christian. Huh. It's probably because you're a conservative, not a Christian.
That's right.
But Christians, you know, want to be known as a Christ follower.
That's
something you want to be known as. And then, you know, the next thing I talk about is how you can get stuck in darkness. Right now, it's easy to get stuck in darkness. There's just so much darkness. And darkness is what your flesh, you know, just by default will do. I mean, you cannot let your mind wander in this culture today. You cannot just kind of whatever, You know, you got to be on your guard because darkness is everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you don't understand that you're the light, you'll easily walk into darkness. It's a default setting for our flesh.
Wild thoughts will take you to wild places. You got to rein them in.
Yes. And what sin will what? Take you places?
Take you places you don't want to go, make you stay longer than you plan to stay. And sin will always make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. So you don't want to even begin to venture into those areas.
This is what Jesus said. The Word of God says in Matthew, I think 6:22. He says that the eye is the lamp, is the light of the body. If the light is in your eyes, then your whole body has light in it. But if darkness is in your eyes, in other words, if you're looking at darkness, he says, then your whole body is filled with darkness. What does that mean? It means that your eye is not like an organ or like your skin. It's a hole to your soul. Whatever you allow to come into your eye gate goes into your heart gate. That's what that means. You can't keep looking at darkness. And it's amazing. John, there's people who profess to be Christians that are watching, you know, like cannibalism. Yeah, some television like cannibalism, and they're watching, you know, and this is how you know. I can't say too many things about that, but one way you know that if you're struggling with a religious spirit is when you can't say bad words, but you can watch and listen to bad words.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, when you're visually seeing everything that God tells you not to do and you don't think anything's wrong with that. And at that particular point, it's called a religious spirit.
Yeah.
You're more concerned about the outside than the inside.
Absolutely.
But the inside's actually getting dark. And there's a ways today, if you're even going to look at media, there's so many ways that you could cut out darkness that you don't have to see darkness. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways to do that. And if you choose not to do that, you're choosing to be dark. And we're called to be children of the light. And the biggest way you can do it is to turn your head. You know, the ability to turn your head.
It moves.
Yeah. And so then, you know, talking about, you know, that we can get stuck in darkness, but how the light of God can lead us out of that place of darkness. I mean, it's the light. Think about darkness and light, dark and light, dark and light. This whole thing is about lightness, light, and it's about darkness, dark. That's what it's about. And in the midst of this darkness, this gross darkness, if you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he's saying, no, you are the lamp. The oil of God's Spirit is supposed to be in you, and you're supposed to get into the light of God's Word, and you're supposed to go out and carry that light to men. The hope for the darkness in America is for you to be a child of the light and not be both. And then how to keep your lampstand. I'll talk about, you know, you've got a lot of people talking about that, you know, it doesn't matter what you do, you can literally shake your fist, and your dusty fist is in.
Wow. Graham Lotz
said, you know, you can shake your dusty fist at the face of God. This is basically what some of the doctrines are being taught. You can hate God. You can talk bad about God. You can renounce Jesus. You can hate his word, never pick up his word. You can talk bad about all of his people that he's put in your life to be able to tell you and lead you in the right way. But because you said a prayer, because you made a five-word statement somewhere, then everything's going to be all right. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It's not true. You actually have to want Jesus. He's not forcing himself on you. It's a choice. It's a choice to be able to say, I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. It's out of love. You can't hate God and think you're going to spend eternity with a God that you hate. It's just not going to happen. And what is hate? The definition of hate is to despise. Mm. And if every time someone tells you what God says and you despise that, it's like, oh, teach.
That's
all you hear, word. This is how marriage is supposed to be. Oh, this is how family is supposed to be. This is how it's like. You despise God. You despise his word.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word. It's living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. If you hate the Word of God, you hate God. Mm. But you know you can repent for that and say, God, I didn't realize I hated you. I want to love you, and I want to love your Word. And you can say, Lord, forgive me for that. I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's how you do it. And he says, okay, follow me. And that means find out what he wants you to do. Read his Word. And follow his teachings. And so we'll talk about that as well. You don't want to lose your lampstand, because the book of Revelation is about a history in advance. He's letting us know what's going to happen to people who don't do what's right.
That's right.
You know, and then you have, I talk about that prophetic dream in detail so you can find out. And it's exactly when, you know, God was revealing at that time. And then I talk about checking yourself. You know, you got to check yourself to see if you're in the light. And all you have to do, if you're in a dark shadow, step over to the light. It's not complicated. It's not some religious chant or something you need to say. You need to just repentance is like, okay, I'm in a shadow. I'm going to get with the light. If the light moves here, I'm going to go there. If the light moves here, I'm going to go there. It's about just making a decision. You got to check yourself. This is what he says. He says, check yourself to see if you're in the faith.
Yeah.
Other people can't check you. You got to check yourself. You're going to answer alone before God. No witnesses or no suspects. And guess what the throne room is going to look like based on those who, actually you can read about it, but those that even had those kind of experiences, it's going to be very bright. It's going to be very light. As a matter of fact, Jesus is so bright that when we get to heaven,
pause it.
As a matter of fact, Jesus is so bright when we get to heaven. Think about this. He's so bright when we all get to heaven in his presence. He talks about this in like Revelations, the last chapter of Revelations. He says that he will be the light of heaven.
Hmm.
We won't even need the sun, the S-O-N, because we have the S-O-N of God. And so when you look at that, he's so bright. And it's like, what does light and darkness have to do with each other? And we're supposed to be children of the light. He's so bright. And imagine how is darkness going to get in the presence and survive in heaven? It's not going to go there.
Hmm.
Darkness is not going to make it into heaven, which means whatever you've been taught, whatever you believe, and belief is one thing and faith is another. Belief is, it could be anything. But faith is what God said and believing what God said.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly what faith is. So you can believe that if you rub this stick and push that thing and something's going to, you could really believe that.
Yeah.
But faith is, God says, if you're walking in darkness, you're not going to enter into heaven. You've got to make a choice by God's grace and view of his mercy to begin to walk in obedience to him. In our obedience, we're going to make mistakes. But if you have no desire at all whatsoever to read his word, to follow his word, to know what he has to say, that's not salvation. That's a religious person trying to just pay basic penance in hopes that they get out of hell free card and don't work like that.
Yeah, Steve Hill would say, you can't hang around the cross. You got to get on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have a relationship with religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus, with Christ, with making him the Lord and the boss of their life.
Right.
When you do that, it's easy to follow him.
Yes, it is. And knowing too, how much he loves you. I mean, it's you're designed for this. It's like two pieces fitting together perfectly. And he loves you so much that he gave his life for you, and he wants to have this journey with you. He wants to rescue you from a condemned state, from a fallen state, from a place that's bound not for heaven. That's his whole desire. It's all this is about, him saying, I love you, and I have a plan for your life. I've done all this to see if you would reach out for me, though I'm not far from you. This is what he says in Acts chapter 17. When we get back from the break, there's this young girl that shared a beautiful testimony, a little short testimony, and I want you to see it. It was right in the middle of Brownsville Revival, and the presence of God was all over her, and she had this encounter with God. And she answers this question when it's asked of her, what do you feel the Lord wants people to know about him? You may be wondering why we're talking about this. It's just like Jonathan Cahn said and Jim Baker was talking about, that you're seeing darkness happening around you. You're seeing it, increase. And the big question quite often people have, what do we do? How do we respond to this? And the Lord says, the same way I asked you from the beginning, that you would be the light of the world. You'd be the salt of the earth. I mean, if the salt loses its saltiness, what is it good for? Nothing but being trampled underfoot. That's what he says. And so you're the answer. See, when it seemed gray and it seemed okay, every day people still were dying and going to hell. But when people, and the gray folks, the people who were being religious, but they really didn't know God, they needed you to tell them that eternity was real. They needed you to be the light to them. And what's going to happen, it's either going to be yes or no. It's going to be up or down. It's going to be dark or light. I mean, there's not going to be any in between. And at that point, the answer is shine. He said, be the light of the world. That's what we talk about all the time, keeping the conversation light at VFN-TV. And one way you can do it, and those that are partnering with us every single month, we're doing this thing together.
Yeah.
Believe me, these lights and this stuff and these broadcasts and towers and satellites and all this kind of stuff, as we compensate those people that are providing those things, it's you, our partners, that we're doing this together. And this is what Jesus says. The Word of God says that you will get the very same reward. We're doing this together. It couldn't be done. And our Father's pleased for that, by the way,
yes.
because He wants us to move in unity and to be able to do it. You get the same reward, and we're looking to do what's right and to be the light in these times. And it's going to get darker. It's going to get real dark. But the thing is, that means you're going to be really light, and you are the answer to that dark situation. So instead of screaming at darkness, start shining your light. We think about it. Isaiah 60, verse 1 through 3, he says it very plainly. And this is what I'm saying to you. Arise. Think about that. Arise off your couch. Arise off your lazy boy. Arise off your retirement plan. Arise off your vacations. Arise off all your love of money. Arise, come off of all of that and come in the world and begin to shine the light of God. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Just like what happened when the church was birthed at Pentecost, they had that big flaming fire over their head. He's going, it's upon you. He said, wait for the promise. And that was the promise. The promise with the Spirit of God would be upon you, not just in you, upon you. And he says, see, darkness covers America. Darkness covers the earth. And thick darkness is over the people of America, over the people. He said, but, in other words, all of that darkness, he says, but for you, he said, but the Lord rises upon you. Think about it. If we just keep talking about darkness, we're missing it. What we're trying to encourage you is you're the answer. Everybody's not going to necessarily want the light, but you first have to shine the light to find out if they want the light. And by the way, yes, if they reject who Christ is in you, you will more than likely be rejected. But isn't it worth you experiencing rejection other than you rejecting the light yourself? Mm. If you were ashamed of me before men, that's what he said, then I'll be ashamed of you for my Father. If you didn't let your light shine once, I mean, we had an attorney friend of ours who been in the church for years, but when he had to actually start allowing his light to shine on the outside, in other words, let people know that he was a believer at his workplace, at his law firm,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a big deal for him. That was the day he became unashamed of God. But when he actually put a little small little wristband on, that just had G-O-D on it. That's what he did. Really did. But that was, to him, that was the moment I was going to let people know that I am not ashamed of God. And now he gave his whole life to God, and he and his family doing a wonderful thing for the Lord. But he had to get the light that supposedly was inside.
That's right.
Get it out. And he became unashamed. And this is what we got to do. The outcome is going to be excellent for children of the light. Maybe not horizontally here on earth, but it will definitely be in eternity light. He says, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over people, but the Lord rises upon you. Think about that. And his glory appears over you. The glory of the Lord is over you. What do you believe? What faith do you have in this reality? Or do you have some strange religious belief that you're trying to look outwardly towards God when God is actually dwelling inside of you? Don't you understand that building is not the church, that you are the building of God, that Christ's Spirit dwells in you? You are the light of the world. The flame of fire appeared. It had a visual sign for people to see. The fire is upon you. And he says, nations will come to your light. Listen, they're going to want to get saved. They're going to want to find out, how do I run this country? How do I run this business? How do I run my departments? How do I function in family? And they're going to look and look and look in the darkness, and they're going to see you and go, look at that bright person over there. Not intelligently bright, but your life is shining bright. Yeah. When you look at the old paintings of saints, what do you see around those saints? You see the glory over those. You see the drawings of the glory over them. Why? Because the light of God is on those who believe. I remember very specifically during the Brownsville Revival when I was watching Pastor John Kilpatrick and speaking, I could see the glory of God around him, literally outlining his whole body, but just, it was amazing, just like the saints of old. And it was, the glory of God was everywhere, but seeing specifically, you know, what God was doing, how God was using him during the Brownsville Revival, I could literally see a thick glory that outlined his body as he was ministering to thousands upon thousands and millions around the earth.
Do we have that testimony of the young girl? Do we have that?
We do. We do. And the last thing I want to say before we go to that is, he says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. If you will abide with the light, Jesus, and he will abide with you, then I'm telling you, if you do what this young girl says, things will change forever. And we have a simple abiding plan for you at iabide.org. Listen to this young girl as Pastor John Kilpatrick at the Brownsville Revival asks her, who's under the presence of God, you know, what do you think the Lord wants people to know? Watch this.
What would you say to other children that's here tonight? What would you say to them about the revival?
To listen to God when he talks to you, so you can tell people what he's saying to you.
The biggest fear people have is this. I don't know how to do this. I have no special anything. And the Lord is the one who's special. He's the one. Jesus said, don't worry about what you got to say. If you'll abide with me and my word abides in you, I'm dwelling in you. When you stand before people, kings or governors or leaders or individuals, I will speak through you. And the young girl said it, that listen to what Jesus says and tell people. That's called abiding. You got to begin to abide with the Lord. This is words from a child, revelation for what Jesus says. He says, a child shall lead them. I mean, she's experienced the Lord. Think about this. It's time for us to fall in love like this little girl with the Lord and say, you know what, God, I'm going to abide with you. I'm going to become like a child. You said, unless I become like one, I won't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to abide with you. And if you need a plan, we have a simple plan for you, a very simple plan. At iabide.org. Request your plan today and we'll get it to you. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, I want to pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you came into this dark world, that you came in as the light of life, the light of God, and we're so grateful for you. Lord, and we ask you right now, Lord, that you would deliver us from darkness, that you would deliver us from the lies of the enemy. Those that are watching and listening, that they've believed the lies of the enemy and think they have nothing to offer, why they actually profess that you were in their hearts, Lord, that they would know that you dwell, that the light of God dwells inside of them, Father God. I speak courage over them. And those that are stuck in darkness, Lord, I just call them out in Jesus' name. Lord, and I pray for your church, Lord, that we would begin to shine, that we would begin to go into dark places and proclaim the light to men, Father God, that many would be saved. Prepare us, God, I pray, to be the light of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.